Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. It's week 11. Holy smokes. Like, we only have a few more weeks left in the season. It has gone by incredibly fast, just as 2025 has as well. How is it possible that Clemson and Miami are taking notes on who could lose to an unranked team more embarrassingly? And if you didn't watch the evening games, I think you really missed out on some quality football contests. There were some great ones late on Saturday, but you got to love college football. Keep in mind, tonight is the first announcement of the playoff bracket, so you're going to see it'll be interesting. I know Joe will cover it in the top 10, but you'll see that a lot of teams were like locked in place. Unless there was like a significant win or loss, they did not move, and I think that was by design because we knew that the first college football playoff announcement was coming out this week.
Yeah, that was by design because it's never happened before. I've never gone 1-7, no change.
Yeah, and for sure.
They did it this week.
Yeah, for sure. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. If you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, the Anchor Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. We will start with Joe, over to Dan, and then I will wrap. What did you guys watch this weekend, and how was your week so far?
Oh, solid week, and I started my day with Vandy at Texas. That game did not disappoint. It's too bad for Vandy, man. They just dug themselves too big of a hole on the road. You can't go down 24 at Texas and win. But Diego Pavia did his damnedest to bring them back. You know, he ended up having 365-3 with 50 on the ground and another touchdown. And then also Georgia and Florida was a crazy game that looked like Florida was about ready to pull off the upset other than that 40-yard touchdown run at the end by Chauncey Brown. I don't think Georgia had the lead. But they got out of the swamp happily with a 4-point win. And then Michigan played at night, and I don't really understand the games where they play mid-level opponents at night. But underwhelming, beating Purdue 21-16, but it was a conference win. And then, you know, I'll get into the top 10 with Ohio State and Indiana, what Indiana disrespected Maryland 55-10. Oh, my goodness. They're making a real, real case for them being one alpha to Ohio State being number one. But yeah, hopefully, if they win out, they both play.
Dan, how about you?
I really enjoyed this week of college football. Army won, Navy lost, Air Force lost. Like, that was a good weekend for me. I'm a little concerned with how UTSA looked at home against Tulane this past Thursday. Like, we've always known that the Roadrunners had lots of talent, but they look like they're maybe starting to deliver on the promise of that talent, which freaks me out a little bit, having to play them still. Thought Georgia looked incredible at the end of their game. Like, Florida played a good half, but Georgia finished that game and left a little doubt about which team was better. Tennessee, man, not so much. It's frustrating to be a Vols fan this year because, dude, they just, like, can't get out of their own way. And finally, Central Michigan lost their showdown with Western Michigan. Was sad for Coach Drinkall, but Western Michigan clearly had the better team, so what can you do?
I know that is a huge rivalry week up here.
I can imagine.
Western week is the biggest party week for either school, wherever the home game is. And it's good people. Like, it's just people there to have fun and watch football. But my goodness, do they show out for that game? It's like Michigan, Michigan State back in the day when both teams were ranked. It doesn't matter what the records are. There's a packed house for that one, no matter where they're at.
I don't remember what the records were going into this, but I thought the teams looked pretty even through about three quarters. But Western Michigan really kind of put the hammer down in the fourth quarter. Like, they were clearly the better team.
They're the best directional school between Central, Eastern, and them this year. Yeah. I think it's Western.
Yeah. I would say that. And so for me, I watched Army beat Air Force in a game that almost had me reaching for the Tums. Yeah. I mean, like, come on. Like, cardiac cadets being what they are, I mean, it's always better when they win, but, like, way too many close games, too close for comfort. Got to see them open up the playbook a little bit more, had a really goofy formation, a couple long passes. Hey, I'm down with that. I think the noon slate of games were good, but the evening games were better. Watched Ohio State just completely freaking dismantle. That was shameful. And guess what, Penn State? You got another beating coming this week, too, because Indiana's going to put it on you just to make a statement. And if they can score more.
Kurt Signetti does not know mercy.
Yeah, well, the other part of it is if we can score more points than Ohio State on you, they probably will.
That's what he's trying to do, too.
Yeah, 100%. And then, of course, hats off to Arch Manning. That's the first time he actually looked as advertised this season against Diego Pavia. So, I mean, maybe he's turning the corner. It's a little bit late in the year, but, hey, stranger things have happened. And then, you know, watching Georgia play with their food, and then I closed off the night by watching probably one of the best quarterback duels of the day, and that was believe it or not, it was Haynes King and CJ Bailey. And into the topic a little bit later today, but like that was a great game. And, you know, to watch NC State go blow for blow with Georgia Tech, hey, man, like there's a good future for that guy.
They had a perfect game plan, NC State did.
Yeah, they did. And they looked great. And they you know, it kind of like Army, they controlled the ball, kept Haynes King off the field. And when he was on the field, he was under pressure because he had to make something happen.
You know, another great quarterback duel in the Carolinas was Mensa and Klubnik.
Oh,
Duke and Clemson had about, what was there, 100 points scored? I mean, yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm happy about that. But again, is Dabo on the ropes? Right? Like, you know, and this is probably a discussion for later, but it's interesting to see what's going on. But speaking of somebody that does get it done every time, you got Jocelyn Bradley. So if you listen to the show at all, you know that we have a sponsor here. If you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Grey Line and the class of 2010 at West Point. She joined the Army as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings you the same commitment to help you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service to ensure a seamless home buying experience that is tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country. So no matter where you're PCSing, you can find somebody that you can trust. Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, and she will connect you with a professional of integrity in whatever market you're moving to. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football, Jocelyn is the realtor you can trust to guide you to a home. Reach out today and make your next move effortless. Dano, could you please cover the Service Academy standings?
I would love to. Army is now 4-4, back to 500 for the second time this season after beating Air Force with an outstanding fourth quarter pass and even better kick. The Black Knights have Temple this week. Both Temple and Army have been great at times assisting at this season and inconsistent at others. We previewed the living hell out of this contest yesterday in the Army Football Show. Great show, very long, almost an hour and 10 minutes. Definitely check that one out if you haven't already. Navy is 7-1 after dropping a tough one on the road at North Texas. Dude, I'll tell you what, North Texas defense was ready for that Navy offense. I don't think I've seen anybody else be that ready for that offense ever since it came out. The Mids are now staring down the barrel a very tough November. They got to travel to Notre Dame this weekend, and then they take on USF and Memphis after that. Are they at Notre Dame this weekend or next weekend?
It's this weekend.
This weekend. Okay. And Air Force is 2-6, losing their second Commander-in-Chief's trophy game against Army 20-17. I had not realized that they'd lost 7 of the last 9 or whatever. That is wild. Zoomies now need to win 4 in a row to have a chance at making a bowl game. Rob says he doesn't think that's likely here in the outline, but I got to say, I do think they're going to make that. I really believe, based on last year, that they have a reasonable shot at that. So we'll see. Rob also says Army needs the Zoomies to build some wins for resume building. Yeah, I don't care, man. Let's just play for the CIC trophy. United States Coast Guard Academy is 7-1 after beating Salve Regina 36-31. They travel to Springfield next week, and the Merchant Marine Academy remains 5-2 after a bye week. They prepare for Worcester Polytech Institute on Senior Day at Kings Point this weekend.
Thanks, Dano. Hey, it's time for weekly awards. So Joe's got something in the hopper. We're going to find out who let everybody down, and then we're going to find out who overachieved this week. But as always, it is now time for...
Look, it's the Blue Falcon!
Over to you, Joe.
You know, unfortunately, we might sound a little redundant this week, as I won't be giving out any repeat awards, but it is another head coach. And I think we could all agree this one was coming. But Dabo Swinney, your time has come. What I saw from the Clemson defense on Saturday was nothing short of underperforming talent. And that's probably the most polite assessment you'll get out of it. 46 points to Duke. No other explanation for the preseason rankings and top 10 recruiting class other than you have underperforming talent at Clemson, and it is showing on the field week in and week out. Remember, this is a man who has stayed pretty stubborn and held the bottom line on not changing with the times, and Clemson is being left behind. The job of the head coach is to put the players in the program in a position to succeed, and I feel like Dabo's old school way of doing business has actually put Clemson behind the power curve. And they're failing on the field in front of us. I guarantee you that's not fun for the players, and that's not what they were promised when they were recruited. For those reasons, and another putrid Clemson season we're watching unfold, Dabo Swinney, you got to be this week's Blue Falcon.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
They were.
Yeah, and then the other part of it is he comes out on social media and tries like to defend it. Like, what is there to defend? Like, you lost, you know.
I refuse to change with the times. Like, yeah. Okay, great. How's that helping anyone?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, when that transfer portal works against them, he's going to have to change with the times to get some new players in. And I think it's just a matter of time before that switch gets thrown. It'll be interesting to see. But let's lighten the mood. Joe, let's bring in the Hold My Beer moment of the week.
I drank the beer.
Yeah, maybe I'm partial to kickers because I couldn't kick a field goal if my life depended on it, and I played football my whole life. And I respect the level of difficulty involved. Maybe it's the fact that I watched the post-game breakdown of the Oklahoma Sooners versus Tennessee Volunteers game, and all I heard were flowers for John Mateer, flowers for the defense, flowers for the run game, and that was about it. They don't mention that Oklahoma didn't sniff the red zone until damn near the fourth quarter. It was their kicker that kept them alive in this game. All right. I tell you that to tell you that once again, the kicker is getting to hold my beer moment in college football. This guy does things a little differently. When other kickers are worried about leg strength and accuracy, this guy was worried about where the equipment manager's office was on day one. I imagine the conversation went something like this. Hey, Slick. You take 10 inches off these pants? To which the manager probably replied, sure, but you won't be able to kick very well on them. To which he responded, hold my beer. Watch this. In that moment, Tate Sexy Short Sandell was born, and he became the starting kicker for the Oklahoma Sooners. Where most kickers just remove the knee pads for an added advantage, this guy walks out to kick in shorts I wouldn't let my 10-year-old daughter leave the house in. I imagine he's just really proud of his legs. But if he doesn't get some NIL money from legs, pantyhose, or Nair, then I just stick with the regular pair of kicking football pants. The material you're giving your buddies on the golf course for a lifetime when you walk out onto the field like you're about to cycle the Tour de France or jump serve on the beach isn't worth whatever advantage you're getting. That being said, I will digress.
It had to hurt me, Joe. Come on now. It's just a style moment. And he hit the kick? Dude, let my man show off his legs.
I'm about to give him his flowers. That being said, I will digress. Because any man that can walk out onto a football field like Neyland with 100,000 people rooting against you in a nationally televised game wearing those short shorts and
a
pair of 55-yarders, left-footed too, so it looks weird, another pair from 51 and 40 while going 3 of 3 on his to lead his team to victory, not only deserves this week's hold my beer moment, it deserves one on the house. So Tate Sandell, the Oklahoma Sooners, the hold my beer moment is yours, my friend.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, Joe. That was
so good. I imagine he nicknames his left leg Thundermaker, and that thing it just fires line drive piss missiles right down the middle. That one from 55 was in the back of the, like, it was 10 yards past the goalpost. I was like, all right, kid, you're going.
Did you see the 68 yarder that guy from the Jags hit this week?
Little. Yeah. And his name is, I believe it's Little is his last name.
It's nuts, man. Kicking is the next like big thing in football, I think.
Yeah. It's gotta be. Something's gotta change.
I gotta give the Los Angeles Chargers the award for best named kicker because they actually have a guy named Cameron Dicker, the kicker.
There you go.
Cameron Dicker, the kicker.
That's great. Nice. Alliteration. Great alliteration. All right. Speaking of alliteration, hey, we're going to bust into the top 10 this week. And it's kind of weird. Like we said earlier, the preview at the beginning of the show, things have been locked pretty tight. And That's probably because in about 2 hours, you're going to get the first rundown of the actual college football playoff bracket. But Joe, over to you.
Same team at number one, Ohio State, no change. And you're going to hear no change a lot. Of course, it's the Buckeyes. It's been the Buckeyes all season long. They made light work of Penn State on Saturday, 38-14. The Buckeyes traveled to Purdue on Saturday, where they're going to be 30-point favorites. Number two is the Indiana Hoosiers, and they definitely are making a case for themselves as the best team in the country after a disrespectful 55-10 beating they gave to Maryland on their home field. If Indiana and Ohio State finish undefeated, it will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to the Indianapolis Hotel and Airbnb sectors, because it will be Indiana playing Ohio State in Indianapolis, and the entire state will be there. Not that I want to see Ohio State win out, and you guys both know why, but Indiana travels to Penn State on Saturday, and they are 15.5-point favorites. Number three, we got the Texas A&M Aggies. They were off on Saturday, but traveled to Mizzou this Saturday, where they are 6.5-point favorites, and that is a sneaky good game there. Ahmad Hardy from Mizzou might get the Doak Walker Award this year, so they can play. And number four, we got Bama. Bama was also off on Saturday, but they host LSU this Saturday, where they're going to be 9.5-point favorites, and I see a beating coming from a Bama team to a low-morale LSU Tigers team, but there's no love lost in this rivalry.
I hate Bama's schedule now, because it should be a bunch of killers to end the season, but they've got LSU and Auburn, and they're both just dumpster fires.
They had such a killer month, that one gauntlet they ran, where I said, man, if they can come out of this with one loss or undefeated, they're going to be scary at the end.
Yeah, and here we are.
Yeah, but and we got the Bulldogs of Georgia coming in number five. The no change for them there. They went into the swamp and got a very hard-fought victory from a Florida team that gave them a real run for their money for three quarters. Georgia comes out on top 24-20. They travel to Mississippi State on Saturday, where they are 7.5-point favorites. At number six, we got the Oregon Ducks. They were also off on Saturday, as were five others in the top 10 this week, but they travel to Iowa on Saturday, where they are 5.5-point favorites. Look out for the scrappy 6-2 Hawkeyes team at home. They love to be home dog season killers.
Yep.
Cooper DeJean is not a safety. If you know that, if you've ever heard that song, I'm sorry, I had to do it. At number seven, we got Ole Miss. No change for them either. It may not have been pretty, but the Rebels took care of business on Saturday with South Carolina as they come out 30-14 with the W. You might as well call it an off week for them, as they have the Citadel coming to town, a game that Vegas thinks so much of that they won't even put a line out for it. At number eight, this is where it gets interesting. We got the BYU Cougars jumping up two spots. They were not satisfied with the dreaded number 10 spot, so they bounced up two on their week off. This may be the game of the week, as BYU travels to Texas Tech on Saturday, where they are, and I cannot believe this line, 9.5-point underdogs. They're undefeated. See me for more in my picks on that one. At nine, team we just mentioned, the Red Raiders of Texas Tech, their ears must be ringing as BYU jumps up two spots. Texas, hold my beer, and jumps up four after smashing a very hot Kansas State team on their home field 43-20. As previously stated, they're going to have BYU coming to town, and they are 9.5-point favorites. At number 10, we got Notre Dame jumping up two spots and back into the top 10. Just when you think you've gotten rid of the Irish, they go on the road and get a serviceable win over a serviceable team and are back in the top 10. They won at Boston College 25-10. The Irish will host Navy on Saturday, where they are 26.5-point favorites. All I can say is, if you know a sports book that takes touchdown props on Jeremiah Love, put $50 on him to score two. Okay. Nice. And you're welcome. Because that is a touchdown machine. He's going to score a lot on Navy.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to the top 25 losses. We're at 53, and we got 5 weeks left in the season. I think we're going to be around 70 if it keeps up correctly with these ranked-on-ranked matchups going towards the end. Houston got smacked by West Virginia. Who saw that one coming? That was ugly, ugly loss. SMU handled their business, but they handed Miami their second loss in overtime. Like, is Mario Cristobal in the bubble as well? Texas beat Vandy 34-31 and Arch Manning's best performance of the season. NC State upset Georgia Tech. Both Haynes King and CJ Bailey looked great in that game. Like, you can't be upset in a loss like that if your quarterback plays that well.
Sure.
And then Oklahoma took out Oklahoma State, upset Tennessee 33-27. Like, what is going on in Tennessee? This is just sad. Anyway, let's move on to the most inspiring performance by a team or individual that you have watched this season. We'll start with Joe, go over to Dan, and then I will wrap.
You know, I'm going to make mine kind of short and sweet, but the Memphis game against Arkansas earlier this year was such a big win at the time of the season. Now, Arkansas hasn't like panned out as, I mean, but they play in the SEC. They were a really good team. That was a huge win for Memphis. And I remember coming on the show afterwards, and Omar was always a huge, huge supporter of their quarterback. And it was a good thing. It was good to see him outduel a guy that was much more hyped than him. And then BYU going to Iowa State, and Bear Bachmeyer, a true freshman, goes in there when they're road dogs, and led his team to a victory after 300 yards passing, 50 yards rushing, and the kid's 18 years old. So I don't know. Those are two that came to mind. I'm hoping for one from my favorite freshman quarterback, Bryce Underwood, but that's going to have to come in the last game of the season.
Yeah, makes sense. Dan, how about you?
So I've got three, and with apologies, one of them is Army beating K-State. But what a gutsy win. Come back from 13 points down to score, you know, to win in the second half. I mean, just an unbelievable performance with a lot of crazy things going right. And I mean, no matter what else happens this year, in all reality, Army fans, we will always have K-State. Also, Georgia Tech beating Clemson, like, that was an amazing game. I realize that Clemson has become something of a dumpster fire, and we've been, you know, busting on them for 20 minutes here, but at the time, that win looked pretty amazing. And let me tell you, the Clemson Tigers looked pretty damn surprised to be getting beat too. And finally, USF beating Boise State and then Florida. Dude, the Bulls, holy smokes. That's a good football team, and they have been playing like it. So that's my three.
Thanks, Dan. Like, for me, you know, this is recency bias, of course, because I watched the game from start to finish, and I thought it was amazing. But if you look at Georgia Tech and NC State, man. Like, if you look at CJ Bailey's numbers against them, right? 24 for 32, 340 yards passing, two TDs, no interceptions, one sack. And then you add the rushing yards to it as well. You know, as a rusher, Bailey freaking turned it on, and he made the plays that he needed to, right? He had 34 yards rushing, but 6.8 yards per carry and one rushing TD. So the guy, you know, accounted for three TDs in the game. And, you know, Haynes King, 408 yards passing, two touchdowns, one pick, and then he had another 100 yards rushing and two rushing touchdowns. Like, and they lost. Like, that's gross. Like, that's like, that's high, you know, if you're a sports writer, like, we call that a Heisman level performance, which it absolutely was. And it was still in a losing effort, which is incredible. Like, that shows you how switched on NC State was in that game. If you haven't watched it, at least go back and check out the highlights, because, like, you're going, holy cow, like, when are they going to stop either one of these quarterbacks? Because both of these dudes are monsters. Like, 500 yards for Haynes King in a game. That's one game. There's some guys that won't get 500 yards in the season.
You know, game stats this year. And in the games where he throws for 280, he runs for 100.
Yeah, it's gross. Like, if he's not on the top of your Heisman list, you're not watching college football. I mean, that's just the bottom line. The dude had put in 500 yards, you know, total, as a passer and a rusher. But, you know, very inspirational performance. But all that being said, that's kind of Haynes King on a daily basis, right? Like, every time he plays, he's like that. And so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back and what the committee looks like after they take a look at that tape. Because I think the way that CJ Paley played and the way that NC State played, they would have beat anybody in the ACC last Saturday night.
I think that Ohio State and Indiana are both going to make serious pushes for their quarterback to go. And the fact that they're not holding losses is going to get them the nod ahead of guys like, you know, another guy who I think should go to New York. It's not going to go is Diego Pavia, but he's probably not going to go.
That's a guy who's about to lead his team to the college football playoff. I mean, they have a very real chance of going from Vanderbilt.
I know, but usually a loss is what's a disqualifier. It's not in my mind. It's just the way they do it in New York. I disagree completely. I think that what Diego Pavia and Haynes King have done have been the absolute story of the year in college football.
Well, I think the other
has a real argument as well. That kid's hanging some video game numbers.
Yeah, but the ultimate reality of it is, the last part of it is ultimately this, is like, we know that college football has changed. So you can't expect that undefeated team to go into the playoff and win the national championship. Like, it's probably not going to happen, you know, and if it does, that's probably more the exception than the rule, because I guarantee you we're going to have at least half of the teams in the 12-team playoff that have at least one loss. Right. This is going to happen. It's statistical. Like, look, you can't put 12 teams in. Your conference championships are not all your conference champions are not going to make it in unscathed.
I know one team that did it, but there was only four teams that year.
Yeah.
Somebody did say Washington and Texas, or no, who was it? Who was it? Texas and Bama was what Colonel Rob said.
Yeah.
And I said Texas and Michigan. So we both got.
We're 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's one of the things that we're going to see in the 12-team playoff. I don't think now with the new format, particularly the way where they've expanded it to make sure that you get group of five representation. Like, I think your at-large guys are going to have at least one or two losses, and maybe your power, you know, your power four, group of four or group of five champion may have a loss or two going into the playoff as well.
Does every group of five team not have a loss? Is there an undefeated group of five team remaining? I mean, your candidates are UNLV. They've taken a loss.
Yeah. There's no one
in the American has a loss.
Yeah. So there's no one from the group of five that doesn't have a loss. Right.
I mean, everybody in the American has a conference loss, which is actually nuts.
Yeah. That's bonkers that happens. But again, parity in college football.
Yeah, for sure.
The tides are shifting. And speaking of shifting tides, we know somebody that can get you a good deal regardless of how the interest rates are shifting.
Good Lord.
Moving on. Dano, could you do the next week?
Friends, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is a mortgage broker and an area sales rep for the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994. He's a veteran, obviously, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Based out of the great city of Chicago, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Friends, Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, get you the best deal he possibly can. And he is also going to absolutely give you five-star service. Everybody that has worked with Craig just raves about the level of service. And that matters because, guys, the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates bouncing all over the place. You're trying to get your house appraised, trying to get this, trying to get that. You know, you're about to sign 2 inches of paperwork. I promise you, sign your life away. They're going to take your firstborn. You want to deal with somebody as you're dealing with all this stuff who cares about you. Not a call center, not a random big box bank or a mindless website, but a guy you can call on the phone with questions. This is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That is a monster savings, like $1,300. Guys, $1,300, get that money. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. Link's on our website, or you can just Google it. I don't think you're going to spell that right. Go to astrofootball.com, and Craig's got a business card, and so does Jocelyn. You'd be talking to them a couple of hours. It's pretty easy.
Thanks, Dano. American games of the week to watch. All right, so we got Navy at Notre Dame, UTSA at USF, Tulane at Memphis, Temple at Army, UAB at Rice, and Charlotte at ECU. Which one of these contests, Dano, has got your eye this week?
Every single one of them except Charlotte at ECU matters a lot to at least one of these teams. I mean, Navy at Notre Dame is obviously Navy's Super Bowl, right? UTSA at USF. UTSA needs that game to get bowl eligible. And, oh, by the way, they're getting hot right now. Tulane at Memphis might determine who gets home field. And, oh, by the way, the loser of that game is probably eliminated from the conference championship game, which is nuts. Temple at Army, obviously both teams badly need that for bowl eligibility. And UAB at Rice. Rice has got four wins. If they somehow take a loss to UAB, they are screwed. So every single one of those games is a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. We got a bunch of high leverage contests this week in the American. So if you're not watching American football, again, like we said, everybody has at least one conference loss, and it's a pretty solid conference this year to watch. I think the football is pretty even, but you've seen some really good contests as well. So let's move on to the week 11 schedule. And hey, we got games tonight. So as you're watching the ticker come in from, you know, people voting, you can watch some football. So if you're depressed about the outcome of whatever election in your respective states. But so you got UMass at Akron tonight, and then you got Miami of Ohio at Ohio. So you've got Maction tonight, rather, and then you've got your Conference USA weekday with Kent State, Ball State, playing at 7 on Wednesday, and NIU at Toledo on Wednesday, November the 5th. Moving on to Thursday, you got UTSA at USF. That's a Friday night game. That's a weird one for the American.
Thursday night game is Tulane at Memphis.
Yeah, correction. Yeah, so you got Thursday night and Friday night in the American. You got Houston at USF. That should be an interesting game after that freaking loss that they just took. See if they can bounce back from WVU. Tulane at Memphis. I think that one's going to be an interesting game. Tulane's not ranked. Memphis is number 22. I think winner of that game is in the driver's seat for the American Conference champion. You got Northwestern against USC. That's actually shaping up to be a much better contest than everybody thought. Like, we thought, you know, Northwestern was dead in the water after Pat Fitzgerald left a couple years ago, and they're actually rebuilding. They actually
look 5-3.
Yeah, 5-3. I mean, I think that would be a pretty sweet win for them to go bowl eligible and sock Lincoln Riley in his punchable face. So I'm down with that. Come on, Northwestern. Yeah. Right. So moving on to Saturday, early kicks. You got JMU at Marshall. You've got SMU at Boston College. And then you've got Temple at Army, all kicking at noon. BYU at Texas Tech. I think that's the featured matchup at 12 o'clock, even though, you know, if you want to see a dead body, Indiana takes on Penn State on Fox at noon. You got Georgia and Mississippi State. I don't know. That might be parity. That's a toss-up, but the ranked –
Georgia's going to wreck those guys. Come on.
But the ranked-on-ranked matchup, you got to give them the nod. Again, if you want to see another dead body, go to SEC Network and watch the Citadel try and score on Ole Miss. You've got UAB at Rice. Tulsa at FAU at this is a 3 o'clock block. So you've got Tulsa at FAU in the American. You've got Iowa State at TCU. That should be a decent game. You know, that's another guy that kind of fell off. Good quarterback that's kind of not getting recognized anymore. Old Rocco Beck. I mean, he had a good season going early, and then it kind of just fell off. You got Kansas at Arizona at 3:30 on ESPN2. Syracuse at Miami. Hey man, like, based off of the way that Miami's played last week, they might be in trouble. You know, it will be interesting to see. Duke at UConn, much more interesting as a basketball contest. But we'll watch the football game as well. Then you got Texas A&M at Missouri. I think that's going to be one of the best football games of the weekend. See if that will go. If not, we'll see what happens. Then you got Oregon at Iowa. Hey, man, like, look, you play at Iowa in a late afternoon kick, that means the second half's going to be dark. And then when they're going to do the freaking wave at the Children's Hospital, people get all up in their feelings, and then
38 degrees and the wind's blowing and you're not in Oregon anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times at that one. I think that will be a good game to watch in the afternoon. Auburn at Vandy. I mean,
yeah, gross.
Didn't Hugh Freeze get fired?
Yes.
I mean, like,
yes,
that's the indication of how well their season is going. You got Air Force and San Jose State kicking at 6.
That's a really interesting game.
Yeah. San Jose State is they're tough. They're scrappy now.
Yeah. Scrappier teams. Then you got Florida State at Clemson. Like, we would have cared about this earlier in the season when both of those teams had records, but now we don't really care. Wake Forest at Virginia. Virginia is quietly keeping a decent season in the ACC. Like, nobody's just paying attention to them, like, because they dropped that one. Yeah. But they still have a chance to make impact. LSU at Alabama, nobody cares. Navy at Notre Dame, that's 7:30 at Peacock. You know, hopefully the mids get out of there injury free, because that's the best.
Are we hoping for that? Yeah, I guess you never hope for injuries.
Yeah, you don't hope for injuries, but like, typically you get nicked up in those games. And that's just that's going to be interesting to see. And I think, you know, I think the same game parlay for Jeremiah Love is it's going to be 2 touchdowns and a half, because I don't think he's going to be playing in the second half, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, two touchdowns and 150 all-purpose yards.
Yeah, you've got
he's I'd love to see him in a Lions uniform. That dude's a real deal, man.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on to the late night kicks. These start at 9. You got Nebraska at UCLA, UNLV at Colorado State, and the wrap for the evening again is Sam Houston at Oregon State. But it's at 10 o'clock on the CW, so, you know, things are getting a little bit better for the Left Coast. Like, they can, you know, go to bed a little bit earlier rather than staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning. And you got San Diego State at Hawaii, but that's on Spectrum. I don't even know who has Spectrum streaming for sports anyway. But without any further ado, let's move on to our
weekly locks.
All right, Dano, what you got?
Dude, I went 0-3 last week. I really, really thought I was starting to turn the corner, and then I just got plowed under. UTSA scored almost 55 by themselves, destroying my underpick on that game. UNC beat Syracuse outright. I guess the Tar Heels have turned it around. And like we said, North Texas' defense came up big against Navy, forcing 3 turnovers and destroying my overpick. Everybody in the world thought that game was going over. It did not get close.
Yeah.
So this week, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Stanford at North Carolina -7.5. I am really picking the Tar Heels. Can't believe it, but yeah, Stanford is not good. Air Force +3.5 at San Jose State. I feel like we talked about this, right? I mean, I believe in that Zoomy second half turnaround. I believe that that's a real thing. That's definitely a young team, so that I expect them to continue to get better. And finally, UAB at Rice -53.5. Neither of those teams really have much offense. Rice actively has some defense, and UAB now runs way more than they did under Trent Dilfer. So I really think that's going to be kind of a short game.
Yeah, that's good. Makes sense. Joe, how about you?
Dude, it was contagious. I went from 3-0 to 0-3. So, yeah, we'll talk about coming back down to earth. Oklahoma's kicker beating Tennessee. Minnesota killed me with the hook. They won by 3. I had a -3.5. And then Wake Forest never got off the bus in Tallahassee. That's behind us, and it will not happen again, as I have 7 very confident picks. Unfortunately, Dano said not on my watch and took 4 of them before I could get in the door. So these are my 3 favorites.
I am your editor. That's my job.
Yeah. First of all, BYU has a 0 in the loss category, and they're 9.5-point dogs to Texas Tech. I disagree. Even if they lose, I think they keep it within a touchdown. This is going to be a really good game. So I got BYU +9.5. Second, I really do think that Memphis knows they need to make a statement and win this game convincingly. And I think they do. I think they win by 10. I've just seen Tulane's too unpredictable. They are turnover prone. And, I think Memphis's quarterback is going to be the reason why they don't lose a conference game on his watch. And so I got them winning 37-27. And then Indiana, I'm buying. They're -15.5. They just won by 45 on the road. They don't slow their offense down for anybody. I think they can beat Penn State by 17 points with their eyes closed. So give me Indiana -15.5. I think they win 45-21.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's going to be a beating. Like, yeah. Signetti will throw 70 on. Like he's going to hang 70 on them just to make a point. All right, so I went 3-0 last week. I had to relook at everything because I thought I missed with Vandy at Texas, but I had 2.5 in, so I covered it by a hook, y'all. But Kennesaw State to cover 9.5 against UTEP, or -9.5 against UTEP. I had Buffalo to cover 2.5 against +2.5 against Bowling Green. They won outright, and then Vandy lost by 3. This week, take Indiana to cover 14.5 against Penn State. I think that's easy money. I mean, like, you're fooling yourself if you don't think that they're going to crush that. I'm going to take Syracuse to cover 28.5.
Yeah, I don't know where I was almost there.
I have no idea where that line came from. Like, if this would have been Miami earlier in the season, that line makes sense. Miami after last week,
their offense is they're lost.
Yeah, they're amazing. It's emaciated. Like, they only scored 20 points last week. You know, they're going to double up on a team that's going to score. Cause Syracuse is, you know, not known for not having offense. I mean, they've scored some points this season. So I think 28.5 is just a bit too much. And then this one's like my sleeper pick. And I'm saying this because Louisville is quietly having the best season since Lamar Jackson won the Heisman, but I don't think Cal is bad enough for them to lose by 19.5 points. Like, that's almost 20 points. Like, I think Louisville will get them. They'll beat them by 17, but Cal's got enough offense to kind of keep it close, you know. So I'm going to take Cal to cover 19.5 against Louisville, but Louisville is a solid squad.
Rob, I like all your picks better than mine. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what's a good pick, too, that I think is a good sleeper pick is Iowa +6.5, man. I keep seeing Michigan, #2 in the country, going in their favored 28 and losing. I can see it like it happened yesterday, and they've done it to other teams.
Dude,
it's cold. Not Oregon.
Well, and the one game that you have to watch, and we'll see if they like make it interesting in the first half. Is it now time for the spoiler makers to kick in? Like, we're week 10, so Purdue is
they covered against Michigan last week, and if Iowa loses 28-24, they cover.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just like, it's getting to the point now where you got to watch the, you know, the season spoilers. Like, are people going to start picking up that moniker, and try and just jack somebody up for the rest of the year? You know, you can take somebody out and kind of dash their hopes to get into the playoff. And speaking of the playoff, we've got the first announcement of the college football playoff announcement, who's going to be in the top 12. In about an hour and a half. So make sure you get out of here. There's some college football games coming up. Hey, there's a great bunch of games this past weekend. We got games starting in about an hour. So get some dinner and sit down and enjoy some college football. I think the rest of the season is going to be wild. I mean, there's too many close teams, and you know, the good ones are good and the bad teams are not really, the bad teams are bad, but all the teams in the middle, like the top 12 and the last 12, don't watch those games. Watch the games for the people in the middle. You know, watch the middle 100. If you're watching the middle 100 of college football, I think you're going to enjoy whatever contest that you take the time to watch.
Anything can happen. There's a lot of good teams. There's a few bad teams, and there's a lot of teams that are, you know,
there's a lot of 5-4s and a lot of 6s, you know, 6-3s, and those games typically turn out to be some of the more exciting ones, and they're on during the week. So, for the team here at the Astro Football College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. Hey, we'll see you guys next week. And as always, beat Temple.
Beat 'em.
Thanks for joining us on the Astro Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/AstroFootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Astro Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.